On October 28th, Jair Bolsonaro won Brazil's presidential runoff with 55% of the vote. The far-right candidate and former army captain was the favorite among investors ahead of the election, and his victory set the Brazilian stock market soaring the morning after his win. Despite a bumpy month for global markets, Brazil's Bovespa hit a record high the morning of October 29th, marking a 12% increase for the month. But Bolsonaro's market-friendly aura has less to do with his 27-year track record in Congress, during which time he favored state control of the economy, and more to do with his pick for finance minister, Chicago-trained economist Paulo Guedes.
His policies, they are clearly of a liberal set of mind, which is something that we have not experienced in Brazil since 2002. So it's a change in route of the Brazilian economy that is much appreciated, considering that we have been on a recession for a very long time.
That's JP Morgan's Emi Chaio, head of equity strategy for both Latin America and Brazil, speaking with ASCOA Online's Elizabeth Gonzalez. Listen to this conversation for insights into the top economic issues facing the next administration of Latin America's largest economy.
You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en Foco.
América Latina en Foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
I'm here with Emi Chaio, who is calling in from Sao Paulo. Thank you, Emi, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we are conducting this interview ahead of the final vote. And full disclosure, we're expecting the far-right candidate Jair Bolsonaro to win. And Emi, I'd like to talk to you specifically about what a Brazilian economy would look like under President Bolsonaro. What are your primary concerns when you look at the state of Brazil's economy today and what a new administration would have to deal with?
Thank you for the question. So basically, the primary concern mine from the whole people, everyone that looks into Brazil today, especially in the financial markets, is the question of the fiscal accounts, which have the largest deficit amongst all emerging markets. Our nominal deficit is running at 7.5% of GDP. The debt to GDP ratio is running at around 75% of GDP and rising. And without a question, the priority of what we are going to look and what is our primary concern is if the incoming administration will be able to foster structural reforms that deal with the fiscal gap that we have. So fiscal consolidation, number one challenge and opportunity as well for the new administration.
Gotcha. And I definitely want to look more closely at what that sort of reform would entail. But now I want to talk to you about how investors and the stock market has responded already very positively to Bolsonaro's lead in the election. Could you perhaps share a little insight on why that is?
Absolutely. So basically, the agenda of Bolsonaro appears to be a liberal one vis-a-vis economic policy rather than a more statist-oriented one, which the left, represented by Fernando Haddad, had. So Bolsonaro's agenda entails especially the question of privatization, more rationality in terms of taxes, especially for the corporate sector, deregulation of several issues that have been boggling the public sector in Brazil, and to some extent is what we call the Brazil cost. And also he appears to have a more ambitious social security reform and fiscal consolidation one rather than his opponents. So this is why I believe the market reacted positively to his win, or actually to his likely win, because we are still a few days before the race. And I think this is completely justifiable because it puts Brazil back to the path of reforms, a path that was not here for a very, very long time. So it changes completely the way investors should look at Brazil and also the potential for growth of this country going forward. So it's a justifiable 20% move in dollar that we saw in the Brazilian market since the beginning of this month.
Yes, and I think a big part of that has to do solely with the man that he's chosen to be his economics advisor and most likely his finance minister, Paulo Guedes. Is that right? What could you tell us about Guedes?
So I don't know Guedes. This is I can tell you that he is considered a very, very smart economist, that his policies, they are clearly of a liberal set of mind, which is something that we have not experienced in Brazil since 2002. Especially since the Dilma years. So it's a change in route of the Brazilian economy that is much appreciated considering that we have been on a recession for a very long time. So you are correct. I believe that without this liberal framework, the market would not necessarily be so buoyant vis-a-vis Bolsonaro. On the other hand, and this is completely independent on views and so on, the market also gave a premium to Bolsonaro, despite Paulo Guedes and despite Bolsonaro's views, because ahead of everything, it was an anti-PT sentiment that have dominated not only voters, but also the market. So the market was very much afraid that we were going to have policies that would, for example, bring back the control of prices on Petrobras, for example, and other issues related to past administrations of the PT that were not necessarily growth conducive. So part of the rally has to do with, of course, the embracing of liberal policies and the fact that it puts Brazil back to the path of reforms. But a small amount of it perhaps has to do with the fact that we are having an alternation of power for the first time in many, many years, except for the impeachment, which is a much more, which represents a change from the PT. So in a sense, an anti-PT bias, I would say.
And one of these most popular policies that is very anti-PT, the privatization of things like the public utility company, Eletrobras, and the state oil company, Petrobras, you think those would be very positive? Is there any scenario where maybe they should consider not privatizing?
So, Elizabeth, Bolsonaro has already ruled out the full privatization of what we call the crown jewels, which is Banco do Brasil, Petrobras, and Eletrobras. So I think this is kind of out of the question at this point. What I think could continue to happen, perhaps, is the divestment of non-core assets on these companies. And the question is that the size of the state at this point is very large. And even though the companies, they have been managed in a very market-friendly way over the past 2 years, and not necessarily something that could or should be in the brunt of the public sector. I don't have myself an opinion. Our JP Morgan doesn't have an opinion vis-a-vis privatization. Everywhere in the world is something that entices markets, especially if the companies are not being well managed. But it's an advantage vis-a-vis the program of Bolsonaro to Haddad. Having said that, I think it's important to highlight that beyond the crown jewels, there are like more than 100 state-owned companies that cost a lot and don't generate a public benefit. And I think that this is also something that the economic team of Bolsonaro has been talking about, that they spend a lot of money with resources for companies that basically don't do anything. And these are the ones they can be either demobilized or not exist anymore, or sold. So I think that this is one part of the program that is very important as well.
Okay. And do you think there are any concerns that maybe Bolsonaro would come into contradictions with Guedes, as he already has in terms of, you know, the full privatization versus partial? If, let's say, Guedes drops out, because there's some rumors that he might not stay a full term in office, do you think that would have a big impact on the way that markets see Brazil's future?
What I can tell you to answer this question is the following. As long as the country is in good hands in terms of economic direction and economic policy, it doesn't matter who the person is. I think that Brazil is beyond the personalization of just one Paulo Guedes. I think there are many Paulo Guedes out there, and who would be willing today to work with a president that has won and is likely to win an important mandate. So remember, Paulo Guedes, he came into Bolsonaro's campaign when Bolsonaro was always leading on the polls, but nobody thought he would have a chance to get elected. So today, the possibility of Bolsonaro to attract minds that are, you know, that the market would endorse is larger than it was when Paulo Guedes arrived. So I think Paulo Guedes is very important. He has been the reference of the market, but, you know, ministers and cabinet members come and go. We saw this happening in the U.S. Mm-hmm. multiple times this year, and the presidencies, they survive, and especially in terms of policies is what matter, is not necessarily the person so much.
To look at J.P. Morgan's forecast on Brazil, you started off the year a bit more optimistic, estimating 2.8% GDP growth for 2018, and you've revised that down to 1.2%. What affected that revision?
Yeah, so this is the forecast from our economist, Cassiana Fernandes. I am the equity strategist. So what happened, basically, we started the year with a very strong number, as you said, but two things happened. First of all, there was a little bit of a data soft patch around April. And second, and most, a lot more important, actually, was the trucker strike, which paralyzed the country for 10 days between May and June of this year, and has basically led to a very large fall in terms of confidence that has put the country on hold. To a certain extent, what we saw vis-a-vis the trucker strike is that it anticipated the concerns of the election. And people basically stop investing, stop consuming, and look at to say, I don't know, I'm in the middle of a very big uncertainty on what the country is going to be. And this has affected economic activity. So this is why today our GDP forecast is 1.2% for 2018.
Okay. And one of the issues that we started off talking about for the next administration is fiscal reform, as you said. And we need fiscal reform because of this massive fiscal deficit. Public spending is really high. And one of the really big issues there is the pension system, which the Temer government tried to pass. They sort of gave up at the beginning of the year. How important is pension reform in your mind?
So without pension reform, there is no way to come to an equalization of an equilibrium to the fiscal accounts in Brazil. So Cassiana, our economist, has run a series of exercises showing that without a social security reform, the debt-to-GDP ratio in Brazil, that is 75%, would go to 100% in approximately 5 years. So the issue is that more than 50% of federal public spending today goes to finance social security. This doesn't include the wages, education, health, infrastructure, nothing. It's just half, a little bit more than half of everything that Brazil spends is to finance social security. So there is a clear lack of rationalization of the system, especially considering that today, at least, Brazil is a relatively young country, but people retire very early here. So this is an already very well established issue that we are getting old, and so people need to retire later and contribute more to the system so that the system becomes solvent, in a sense, for the long run. All in all, without social security reform, it's very difficult to think that we have other measures that could compensate to lead the stabilization of the debt-to-GDP ratio around current levels in the foreseeable future. So I think that this is what markets are thinking. This is the biggest doubt of markets going forward, and this is how the Brazilian markets will perform, if the social security reform is going to advance or not in the next administration. So it's crucial.
Bolsonaro so far has suggested that he would aim to pass a similar reform that the Temer government has proposed. Is his proposal, do you think, complete? Are there any elements there that you would like to see? Or do you think that Bolsonaro should start anew?
No, actually, Bolsonaro said very clearly, and especially Onyx Lorenzoni, who is his appointed chief of staff, they have said very clearly that the Temer reform is not the one that they would like to get approved. It's being speculated that perhaps they would allow Congress to move ahead after the election with the Temer proposal, with Congress approving or trying to approve to move the agenda in terms of one or two issues of the Temer agenda. But the Bolsonaro team allegedly is working on their own proposal for social security. But at this point, we have very little information on what that is. We know that in the program, in the government program of Bolsonaro, they talk about transforming Brazil in a capitalization system of social security in the same modes of what we have in Chile today, and to some extent Mexico as well. But it doesn't lay out exactly how this new system and the old system are going to converge, how they will live together, what is going to happen. I think that from a market perspective, the one thing that cannot miss is the establishment of a minimum age of retirement and a higher one than kind of what the system has today. So that's the one of the very basic premises. Two, and is that civil servants, they need to have a more balanced social security reform. So in a sense, what I think the market would like is that all the categories in Brazil, military, civil servants, and the private sector as well, they have the same rules of retirement, which it's not the case today. So this is like more or less, in very simplified terms, the things that market believes, and I do too, which are essential to be in a new social security reform.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. Okay, so I want to ask you about Brazil in a more international context, given that it's been, you know, loosely part of this BRICS group of emerging countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And I was wondering how relevant you think that is for Brazil's economic prospects.
Difficult to think for Brazil in these terms, because we have been removed for so long, in my view, in terms of any prospects at all, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that Brazil had a 7% recession between 2015 and 2016. In 2017, Brazil grew just 1%. And in 2018, again, you know, about 1.2, 1.3%. So we have barely recovered. So it's difficult to know how Brazil is relative in terms of how important these countries are for Brazil. Having said that, this is not a beauty context, basically, because when I look at these countries, all of them, they have very important challenges that are happening. We do know that Brazil is very sensitive to China, that China prospects, they are key for Brazil, especially because of the move and the importance that China has vis-a-vis commodity prices, which are very important for Brazil, is more than 50% of Brazilian exports. But I'm not sure there is an immediate linkage vis-a-vis growth because there is so much slack in the economy today. So I think that we can grow substantially, if all goes well, of course, with the rest of the world, without very large impediments globally. We can grow, Brazil can grow well, above 3% for several years, if it has a reform agenda, exactly for the fact that it still feels that we are in a recession since 2015. So we are still, like, let's say, quote-unquote, owning 5% of growth just to come back to the pre-recession level. So this is why I don't think that BRICS, it's so important right now in terms of thinking about Brazil prospects.
And do you think that it would benefit Brazil to maintain its strong ties with China in terms of trade, in terms of growing investment? Or is Bolsonaro right to think that we should pull back in some way? He said he was worried that through privatization that would open the way for China to own more of Brazilian energy. It seems like he is worried of the Chinese in Brazil.
So we don't have an opinion on that. We haven't done any sensitivities lately about this.
Okay.
What I can tell you is that Brazil is China actually is a very important contributor in terms of foreign direct investment in Brazil, especially has been on the utility sector. So it's kind of, it makes sense what was said. But, you know, this is like a strategic view, and we do not have one.
All right. And finally, I'd like to ask you, what do you think Brazil should really be taking advantage of more to grow and to use this as a new start with an administration of a party that has never ruled the country before? What are the opportunities that you see there?
So without a question in my mind, the missing link here is the issue of investment. When we look at World Bank data that compares investment as a percentage of GDP for all the countries, really not only emerging markets, Brazil appears as one of the countries with the lowest investment rates in the world at only 16%. Our peers in Latin America, they have about investment rates about 24-25%. For example, Colombia, Chile, and so on. I think that the goal of Brazil has to be to maintain interest rates low, and this can only happen if we have a tighter fiscal policy with social security reform. And the moment you have a better cost of capital in the country can increase its investment rate. Okay, so this is where the big slack is in Brazil, that we have arrived at a moment where basically there is almost no investment whatsoever. Think about infrastructure, ports, roads, and so on. And I think there is a lot to be done on that front by the new administration in terms of, you know, really moving along this agenda, which can only be done again, and it's kind of redundant. We always come back to the same place if we have a rationalization of how much the public sector spends in Brazil. So investment would be, you know, my area of opportunity without a question.
Okay. Thank you so much, Emmy.
Elizabeth, thank you.
Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Karin Zissis. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Gonzalez. The music in this podcast was recorded at America Society in New York City. Check out upcoming concerts at musicoftheamericas.org. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If so, please subscribe and write us a review on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. And we're also now available on Spotify.